She's feisty and fearless. She's the conservative alternative. The Dana Show, weeknights 9 to 11 on KVI.
Do what you want to do. I can't tell you who to talk to. It's your thing. Do what you want to do.
Well, if you're looking for your thing, and you want some really great news, here you go. A Superior Court judge yesterday, after we got off the air, struck down Washington's new capital gains income tax, a huge blow to Jay Inslee and progressives everywhere and the liberal wing of the Democratic Party. Their attempt to create, if you will, the camel's nose under the tent for an income tax on all income dealt a big setback. Here's what I'm talking about. The judge, who's an Inslee appointee, his name is Brian Huber from Douglas County. That's in central Washington, Wenatchee. He wrote that the tax fails on two counts. Number one, quote, it violates the uniformity requirement by imposing a 7% tax on an individual's long-term capital gains exceeding $250,000, but imposes zero tax on capital gains below that threshold. You cannot tax someone's property unless you do it uniformly. That's why we have the sales tax that is the same for everyone when you go into the store and buy something. It's why the property tax is at the same rate. Now, if you have more expensive property, you'll pay a higher tax, but you'll pay the same rate as someone who has a small shack. Ditto with the sales tax. If you buy something expensive, you'll pay more tax, but you'll pay the same rate as someone who buys a hamburger. So, Judge Huber correctly pointed out that this violates the state constitution's requirement that taxes on people's property has to be uniform. And property is defined as anything that is owned. Anything that is owned. Quote, tangible or intangible. No wiggle room. The judge also rejected the argument by Democrats that the new law is not really an income tax, it's an excise tax. So on two counts, it gets struck down. This is big. And here to talk to us more about it is the man who I believe is as responsible as anyone for ringing the bell about this issue, educating people about it, particularly that the capital gains income tax is not an excise tax. That's Jason Mercier from Washington Policy Center. Good morning, Jason. How are you?
Good morning, John. Great morning. It was a great team effort. And if only somebody for the last 10 years had been warning the legislature that everybody in the world, the IRS, calls a capital gains tax an income tax, and nothing has changed in jurisprudence in Washington in the last 100 years saying you can't do this. If just somehow the lawmakers had gotten that information.
You know, I think it may have appeared here and there, but no, you've been saying this over and over and over again. And I will point out that the IRS, in an official letter to a member of Congress who inquired about it, I think it was Dan Newhouse, a congressman from Yakima Tri-Cities, said, do you consider a state income tax an excise tax? And the IRS basically wrote back and said, yeah, of course. They say it's an excise tax, Jason. Why isn't it an excise tax? You might want to distinguish between the two.
Well, Yeah, I mean, as the IRS and everybody else in the world, and in fact, even the nonpartisan legislative staff and the bill report, as this was working its way through, pointed out that states tax capital gains as income, because that's what they are. Capital gains are not a asset. They're the income from selling assets. Right. And what an excise tax is, that's a tax on a transaction. Think the sales tax, think the liquor tax, the cigarette tax, the gas tax, even the real estate excise tax. You're taxing a transaction. It's a one-time point in of sale tax. But capital gains, you don't sell capital gains. You sell assets, and then if you have a profit from that, if you have income from that, sometimes in other states with income taxes and at the federal level, you pay an income tax on that. And what our legislature was trying to do, since the voters have rejected six constitutional amendments to allow a graduated income tax, and the Supreme Court on not one, not two, but three separate occasions had said, you can't pass a graduated income tax without a constitutional amendment. They decided, well, let's just play a word game. We're going to say that we're not taxing the income. We're taxing the privilege of having received that income through sales. And thankfully, Judge Hoover saw right through that.
No, precisely. Now, Bob Ferguson, the state attorney general, not pleased, said he disagreed with a ruling and vowed to continue. Quote, all the parties recognize this case will ultimately be decided by the state Supreme Court. We respectfully disagree with this ruling and we will appeal. But let me ask you this. Again, Judge Huber is an Inslee appointee and his ruling was rather straightforward. He said, you know, basically, it's kind of obvious. So what wiggle room will there be for an appeals court here, Jason Mercier?
Well, let me respectfully disagree with the attorney general about it's a guarantee this is going to the state Supreme Court. And I'll note that one of the moves the attorney general made in this lawsuit was to try to strike my declaration from the court record, talking about the IRS, talking about every other state, talking about how everybody in the world treats this as an income tax. And the judge allowed the majority of that to stand. But it's more likely than not this is going to go to the state Supreme Court, but there's a pretty good chance it won't. And that is if this goes to the Court of Appeals, if it doesn't do direct review, and the Court of Appeals rules just like the Superior Court did, then you'll have had court after court after court for 100 years say the same thing. There's no controversy. There's nothing for the Supreme Court to take up. And this is exactly what happened a few years ago with the Seattle income tax case. So
That's a good point.
This may not make it all the way.
Didn't the state Supreme Court
may not make it all the way up there?
You're right. Didn't the state Supreme Court decline to hear an appeal from the Seattle income tax ruling?
It did, because nothing has changed in legal facts. And this is something that I think the most jarring thing that I saw last night after this ruling came out were several lawmakers who pushed for this. And all of the income tax advocates who convinced the legislature to do this were saying, we expected to lose a trial court because they're expecting, for some reason, the Supreme Court to overturn 100 years of rulings. But nothing has changed. The constitutional amendment that the voters put into place saying property is everything subject to ownership, that hasn't changed. Either you own your income or you don't. That hasn't changed. And I think that people just need to realize this was not one ruling back in the 1930s. And my favorite ruling from the state Supreme Court was in 1960, a one-page ruling. It told the legislature, stop asking us. We are not changing our minds. Amend the Constitution.
Right. If you want a different outcome, you've got to change the Constitution. I don't know how many times I have read that article from the state constitution that makes it clear in the most straightforward language, the most airtight language, that you cannot impose a tax on income unless it is uniform, unless everybody pays the same rate. And yet the Democrats keep trying to get around this. This is, and again, he not only ruled against them on that. He ruled against them on the definition that it was an excise tax rather than an income tax. So basically, it was a 1-2 punch, I think, to the progressives on this, Jason.
It struck down every argument they made as they were pushing this through. And I'm hoping at this point this might put a little bit of the brakes on another tax that they're trying to do right now. Because if you look at the judge's ruling, now, not only did he address the fact about it violating the 1%, but about the uniformity, because it taxed the capital gains differently at different thresholds, right? The discount that they were getting, the credit below a certain amount.
Right.
This is exactly the same failing that the wealth tax that is being pushed in the legislature will go through. You can't exempt $1 billion of property and have that be a uniform tax. So if anybody's paying attention in Olympia, it might be time to put the brakes on that new scheme as well.
Jason Mercier from Washington Policy Center, again, who's probably done as much as anyone to lay the intellectual groundwork for yesterday's ruling. I think Rob McKenna, the former attorney general, didn't he argue this case before the court?
Yeah, he was one of a fantastic legal team that took this on.
Well, I tell you, they did their job well. So did you. Congratulations. If you want to read more of what Jason has to say, not only about the income tax, but about state spending, what's going down in Olympia right now, just go to WashingtonPolicy.org. It's WashingtonPolicy.org. A quick note, Jason, anything we should keep our eye on in Olympia this week as they're getting ready to wind up the legislature in their final week?
I think the two big mysteries is what's going to happen with the emergency powers. You know, the Senate passed that fake bill and the House has not put it on the floor yet, so we may not get any vote at all. And the other is what happens with that transportation package. It looks like the trade war has been averted, but does that mean the package dies?
Right, because they haven't been able to plug that hole. We've been quite involved in that as Marco Elias was on this show defending it and made the remarks that got him in some hot water with the governor of Oregon. Thanks again for joining us. Appreciate it. Again, that's Jason Mercier, Washington Policy Center.